It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our October edition of the Laker Hockey Talk program. I'm Damon Whitten, and for the next 50 minutes or so, we'll be talking Laker hockey here on ESPN 1400. And Damon, good morning.
Yeah, good Thursday morning. It's always great to be in studio talking Laker hockey.
Yeah, it's the big subject right now. We do have some news. We have some things to talk about. It appears that we do have a tentative schedule at this point. We do have some good news there for our fans, and a lot of things to talk about here, including maybe how many fans we can put in the building, and everything's pretty much up in the air at this point with all that sort of thing. And you know, if we have a relapse of the COVID-19, and it could wipe everything out, but at this point you have to plan, and we want to play hockey, and so we are planning. The WCHA has a schedule that will start on January 1st and 2nd, an 18-game schedule. We can't really talk about it in detail at this point because they're going to release that later this month, but we can say there is a schedule, and we do have some non-conference games coming up in November and December.
Yeah, well, and just before, like, some of those details, you know, talk about being back on the ice and playing hockey. You know, it's great. Coach LaPrade's got the Eagles going, and certainly Adam Nightingale bringing his new team up with the national program and playing locally. So it's great that we're moving, you know, slowly forward, and we're returning, and certainly youth hockey's in full swing as well. So there's some optimism that way, that things are starting to play and leagues are getting going, and certainly we'll know more, with football going, things like that. So we're learning day by day, and at the NCAA level as well, and getting some information back of how to best run and best practice. There's still a lot going on state by state, and I guess that's where I'll start. You know, you mentioned attendance and fans, and certainly that's, you know, at the discretion of the state and the mandates that are coming out, and certainly some challenges lately with the Supreme Court ruling there as well. But I think as of right now, we're very limited to what fans will look like, and that I think our number, I don't know where that falls in that Supreme Court ruling, but I think we're very limited to attendance. I think we're kind of working off a 500 number right now, roughly, and so it's very, very limited to this date. Now, hopefully that, you know, can potentially change if it's safe to do so as we move forward, but it does look like, you know, if we were starting today, fans would be extremely limited, and that's going to be a challenge. And I think that includes everybody in the building. So that's our players, families, and staffing, things like that. So it'll be a very limited number if we go on today's information. Schedule-wise, as you said, the league is going to have, WCHA will announce, I believe, October 28th. They will come out with a full announcement for the league, the WCHA conference schedule. As you mentioned, that starts January 1. We do have a conflict or two where we may have to pull one or two of those dates out earlier and play that before that January date, and that's been approved by the athletic directors of the league, just to help alleviate, obviously, with late notice, hotels, travel arrangements, a lot of things have to go into place to pull this off. And we line up with the I-500, and so we're working on some challenges of having that event in town and no hotels available and things like that, assuming the I-500 will go forward in February, and we're hopeful that it will. But that'll be good. October 28th, we'll know more on the WCHA conference schedule. Non-conference-wise, if those of you who follow college hockey closely have probably seen the Big Ten has announced they will not play non-conference games, I guess, beyond a scheduling alliance with Arizona State. So we are looking at our non-conference schedule to be against conference opponents. So we have tentative plans in place to start that up the weekend of November 2021-22. Not quite sure exact date, but somewhere that weekend we plan on launching the season. I guess I probably don't want to get an opponent yet that I think we're locked in with another UP rival, but that can shift a little bit. And those next three weekends is when we will play. Some of those are home and home weekends. We're hopeful for a full home weekend there with two two home games looking at as we get into December. And again, pulling one of those February dates out also into early December as well. So we're looking anywhere from 6 to 8 games before that January 1 start date. And, you know, really have good plans in place. But obviously, we're kind of keeping an eye on hot spots and what's going on at different institutions and you know, trying to keep our own program going as well, which we've been fortunate to do so far. Is that clear, Bill? Is there further questions on that we can address or talk about?
Well, I think people would like to hear specifics there, like who are we going to play, what date, et cetera. You know, when Bill Robertson was on with Dave Watson last week on Coach's Corner, he talked about trying to make the non-conference games be against somebody who's in your geographic area. And that, to me, would say that we are maybe looking at trying to play Ferris State, Northern Michigan, Michigan Tech. Those are the three that are closest to us. And
yeah,
I guess that's the way we would look.
Yeah, we talked about it. We do have Tech, tentative dates. Again, you know, they're having a hard time on the west side of the UP right now. And so we're hopeful that Joey's able to, you know, get back on the ice and be ready to go. And, you know, we've not faced that same shutdown. So if it does come to us at some point, what does that look like? We'll be ready. But yeah, that's on the schedule. Then that second post-Thanksgiving, we're looking at a home-and-home exchange with Ferris State. And we haven't quite decided what days and who's building. So we've got to do some work there and figure that out. And then actually Huntsville, you know, being isolated, they are going to come up for a series as a plan as well. You know, they don't have that geographic footprint to get some games, and it worked out well to get them into our building. And then working with Northern Michigan, they're the challenge we have with the I-500. So we're working with Northern to, it might be a couple midweek games. You know, we can pop over Tuesday night and play. Obviously, we're close enough, easy enough. And I think with our players, you know, we're out of school at that point. We wrap up November 21st. It's a Saturday, but that's our last day of finals. And so we certainly have a lot more flexibility than we typically would to run to Marquette or to run to Big Rapids and play a game, you know, without the ill effect of missing class time and things like that. So we're going to continue to work with Northern Michigan on finding those dates as well.
We do have, though, the WCHA will be coming out later this month with the schedule. It's a tentative schedule based on COVID and whether there's a relapse with the disease over the flu season. But it'll be an 18-game schedule, and everybody will be involved. And this is where it gets kind of dicey, too. Our fans sometimes get a little mixed up on what we're doing here. This is not CCHA yet. This is still WCHA for one more year. Alaska Anchorage is still involved. So is Fairbanks. So is Huntsville. They're all still in the league. It's next year where St. Thomas comes in, and Fairbanks and Huntsville are no longer members of the league. We go to the CCHA. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But just to get it straight, we are still going to be playing Huntsville and Anchorage and Fairbanks.
Yeah, correct. You described that accurately. Some of the challenges we're dealing with as the WCHA league, you know, right now the Alaska school, or you know, the state of Alaska has a 14-day quarantine once you arrive, even with a negative COVID test. So you know, that's obviously a challenge, not only for us to go play there, which we do have on the schedule to go up to Anchorage, but for them, you know, they couldn't come down, play a series, fly home. They'd be under that same quarantine rule, the return to the state. So it's really challenging, and they're working on that with their state government body to relax that, or maybe exempt it, or maybe it's gone by then as well, as we continue to work through this time. But there's a lot of pieces like that we're still working on. You know, our league is finalizing some return to play documents with testing protocols, enhanced safety measures, referee protocols, all you know, very, very challenging time to get everything in order to do this safely and to move forward. So that document will be finalized shortly, and then teams will have to make sure that we can, you know, hit testing standards and protocols. Work through all those, and then that'll be fully locked in. But like you said, the WCHA is intact for this final season here, upcoming season, and then we will transition to the CCHA. And it's been busy from a coaching perspective, because we have a weekly national meeting, we have a weekly WCHA meeting, we've had weekly CCHA meetings, and so there's a lot going on to try to figure out how to work in this environment, and it's affecting obviously everybody. everybody. And I know athletics is, you know, carved out in some ways, and then there's some positives on that and some drawbacks to what we need to try to make this operate. But there's been productive talks, and, you know, we're optimistic that we'll be ready to go, assuming, you know, schools are prepared on their campuses and there's not outbreaks and things like that within a program.
Yeah, and so far Lake Superior has been really benefited by the fact we haven't had, I mean, you test your guys a lot. Nobody's tested positive. I would think a lot of teams are looking at that like Joe Sean is saying, hey, we got outbreaks here. I got kids testing positive. I'm not sure I want to take that over to Lake Superior. On the other hand, he probably feels better about playing at Lake Superior than he would at home at this point. So right now, you have 6 non-conference games starting probably the weekend of November 20th, 21st, 22nd. Could be Friday, Saturday, Sunday in there. Not 3 games, but two sure. of those dates. And it looks like you're going to play some home and home, or you're going to have Huntsville at home. It could benefit our fans.
Yeah, you know, assuming we can get fans in, you know, and that's the other hurdle. Like, it's going to be interesting as Big Ten football launches in, what, another week and a half here, or just over a week, I suppose, you know, what that looks like. Those are outdoor venues, obviously, so a little bit different as well. But and I guess I haven't followed that closely in terms of what they're expecting. I think there's no fans from what I've, you know, briefly looked at. But, you know, we'll see how that moves forward and what that looks like. But, yeah, a lot of different scenarios in play. Like you said, you know, if a team can't go, can we quickly reschedule? You know, and we've been fortunate, as you said, you know, we test the guys right now in quadrants per NCAA protocol. We are soon to follow NCAA protocol and league protocol. We're going to have to ramp up our testing as recommended by the NCAA and required by the WCHA. You know, that's challenging in our community. You know, we want to be good community members and make sure, you know, we're not taking too much time or test and things like that. But we also have to find a way to follow protocol as well. So a lot of moving parts still that have to quickly come together, because we're not that far away. I think we're about 5 weeks out, and things have to come together. But we have been fortunate. I think I give our guys a lot of credit. That they're, you know, trying to be very responsible and for the most part making you know, good decisions and sacrificing a lot, you know, to try to keep going. We're trying to do all we can to keep that locker room sanitized and healthy and spread out and all those things. You know, I'm just not sure that we can avoid any impact of COVID when looking around. It seems to be, I think Yale just announced yesterday they've shut down their whole athletic department for some outbreaks. So, you know, I would love that it's not going to enter our locker room and get there, but I'm not sure that's realistic when you see what's going on nationally. But we're going to do everything in our power to try to keep this going. I know for our players, you know, there's nowhere they'd rather be, you know, as much as, you know, the social life and getting together as a group or, you know, on weekends, things like that, that's important to the college and part of what you sign up for to be a college student. You know, they don't want to lose practice. They don't want to lose the weight room. They don't want to lose the locker room. And so, you know, I give them a lot of credit that they're trying to really be disciplined with their decisions they make, and balancing, you know, that social life with in college student versus their sport.
Well, they got to be really responsible, because your policy is that a lot of these guys live off campus, and that makes it even more difficult. You can't bubble them, you can't stick them all in one area and then keep them tested, etc. They go to their various houses, apartments, condos, whatever, and they've been doing a good job because there's no positive test going here. So kudos to the Laker hockey players at this point.
Well, yeah, so far, like I said, I think they've done a good job. And I'm not sure we can expect and not have, you know, some positives or an outbreak when you look at what's going on nationally. And, you know, if you look at the UP, some regions in the UP, like, you know, I'm hopeful, but that might be a little bit naive to think we can totally avoid it in our locker room. But, you know, we're going to do what we can to continue to distance. And, you know, at times we do things in groups so that the whole team wouldn't be put at risk, but at the same time you also have to prepare for a season, so we do need time together as a team to prepare for that November date and try to have our guys as ready as they can be. So it's a really you know, challenging time to operate. And you know, I think last month as well that the mental well-being is, to me, one of the areas that has not been talked about enough or looked at enough to keep these guys in a good place mentally, not just the athletes but all students. You know, at our campus and other campuses that I think we need to be doing more to make sure the mental health is looked at and kids are doing okay with some of the isolation and the separation. Things like that to me are a real concern, and I'm not sure that we spend enough time looking at that area.
Well, the good news is that there is a WCHA schedule. It will be released later in the month of October, so everybody will be able to see what the 18-game schedule is. It'll start January 1st and 2nd, a Friday and Saturday that weekend. And we are going to play some non-conference games before that. At least that's the plan at this point. And so we'll continue to talk about that and other things. We got a lot to talk about here today. There are so many questions that kind of branch off from all of that's been announced so far. And we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.